you know, how old is too old for chastisement? Maybe some of you had that question. And I will tell you this, it's anywhere between 10 and 13, and it could be as late as 14 maybe. And the reason why there's a range in there is that every child is different and unique. And as far as their maturity level, how, you know, you a parent, I got to defer to you. You know your child better than I do. And you'll know if you're provoking them or not. And the point is, we don't want to provoke our children to wrath. The Bible speaks against that, right? We want to chastise them as a child. But when they grow into a part where they're an adult, you wouldn't spank an adult, right? Well, a child is growing into that, and they become a youth, and there's a point where you just don't chastise because you would just make them angry. You would cut cords rather than restore relationship. So, and that may happen just by experimentation even. And if that happens, then you say, I'm sorry, honey. You know, maybe you're growing into adulthood and things need to change as far as the dynamics of the way we correct. But like I said, you'll know that age for your child. I can't put a specific year and month and day on it, okay? Responsibility is accepting personal accountability for one's own actions, as well as faithful and conscientious work habits such as integrity, diligence, and reliability. Remember, responsibility is the ability to respond. You're able to respond correctly. And Matthew 7 speaks of that. We take responsibility for the beam in our eye before we can pull the mote out of somebody. We take care of our sin and our problems, right? We take care of us first. And we make retribution if necessary. And that's responsibility. If somebody breaks something, they fix it. If they cost somebody expense, then they pay for it. You know, that's retribution. It's taking care of what they've done. Remember asking what and not why. Just a quick recap. And the importance of that, because if you ask why, it creates a lying situation. You know, they make excuse and they blame rather than taking responsibility for what you did. Model accountability and at every opportunity. Don't defend or make excuses for your child's bad behaviors to teachers, ushers, and adults. If an usher is incorrectly correcting your child, incorrectly, just telling them to quit doing this when they weren't doing it and you knew it. Listen, life's not fair sometimes. You don't want to go over there and reprimand the usher. That should be an authority in the child's eyes. But it may be a conversation you have with the usher later out of the child's hearing. I'll go ahead and correct that. I apologize that happens. But you want your child to have respect for all authority, right? So don't break that down in the child's eyes. Let him have respect for those that are above him. If they break something, make them fix or replace it. Simple. If they're restricted, do not bend the rules if something fun comes along. Remember about going to a party, but you were invited to a better party. let them, they need to keep their word and fulfill their commitments. If they make a mess, have them come back and clean it up. If they leave a light on, have them come back and turn it off. Simple. Hold them to this motto, duty before pleasure. Listen, we have to work before we eat. And our children, the sooner they learn that there's duties to take care of before there's pleasure, we make it Disneyland for our kids way too much. They need to learn how to work with you when you work and learn those things, because all of a sudden the employer's going to make, you know, put work on them for money, and they're going to say, wait a minute, I don't know, you know, I want to have fun. That's a big lesson. Duty before pleasure. How to introduce new responsibilities. Listen, there's five steps to this. Don't you love these five-step plans? Anyway, there's five steps to it, and that's one, show them by modeling the job. Number two, helping them, working side by side. Number three, watching them, reminding and supervising. Number four, check them, working independently. And five, leave them, showing initiative and motivation. And I'll just say that again this way. You show them, if I'm showing them how to turn the pages of this book, they're standing behind me and I'm saying, okay, this is how you do it. See, you see how you turn the pages from here? You don't bend the pages that way. This is how you do it right here. You know, wet your finger when you need to, you know. And then number two, you help them working side by side. So now they are, you know, we're working side by side. They have a Bible, I have a Bible or book, and we turn the pages together. See what I mean? This is modeling how to train. Okay, we're doing it together. See? Okay, yeah, you turn the pages that way. Uh-huh. Perfect. Yeah, you're following me exactly. And then you watch them. So now you step back where they were, and they're turning the pages, and you're saying, oh, yes, that's right. Oh, wait, grab it from, okay, wet your finger, you know, turn it that way. And they're doing it. And then eventually, and the next one is you check them. So they're working independently now. Now they're turning the pages, and you're letting them make mistakes, show initiative, you know, all that. And you come back and you say, oh, yeah, you turned the pages right. Well, except for that one page, but that's great. You're doing a good job overall. And then eventually you can leave them to do the job. Five. You can leave them because now you've trained them thoroughly through the process. This process ought to be trained in everything we do. Household chores, all of those things. You're showing them how to change the oil in the car, Dad. You know, you're going through this process. And we many times provoke our children by expecting them to do things they can't. And it frustrates them. It makes them insecure. They don't want to venture out and make mistakes. Listen, there's two things convalescents always say that they wish they'd have done differently. One is they wish they'd have spent more time with their family instead of at the office, okay? These are people in care homes. Number two, they wish they would have taken more risk. I wish I'd have taken more risk. Ventured out and done, but you know what? Many times they're trained not to make mistakes. I'm okay with my kids making mistakes. That's how they learn. It's okay to make mistakes. Let's try it again. If you make a mistake, we'll try it again. You don't have success without making mistakes. We're not going to go into what ages are appropriate for what jobs. We could go a little bit, I may, you know, depending on how you're feeling. If my children say you're bored, or they're bored, has your child ever said I'm bored? You know, if they say I'm bored with me, I just get all excited. You're what? You're bored? I am so excited that you're bored. Welcome to life. Welcome to the real world. They don't even say I'm bored anymore because I get excited about it, and it's just bizarre to them that I would get excited about that. But you know what? I want them to learn as quickly as they can that being bored is just a process of life, and that, listen, we got to do things sometimes we don't want to do, right? Work and school and learning, and there's things that we don't want to do. Wisdom, knowledge rightly applied, using godly understanding and insight together with life experience to make sensible judgments and decisions. It's incremental. It's a process. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And even today, you're taking just nuggets. You're taking little things. You'll pick up some things, and you'll have to go back and listen or read and pick up another thing. Don't put more on yourself than you're able to bear. The Bible talks about that. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Just do what you can do, little at a time. Be faithful in the few things, and he'll make you ruler over many. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train up. It's the same root as palate in the Bible. The Hebrews would actually rub the gums of their child when they were babies with the juice of grape dates and good nutritious foods to give them develop a taste for good things. And that's what we want to do in a sense spiritually. We want to give them a taste for good things. We want to stimulate a like and a love for healthy things. If all you fed your kids were candy because that's what they wanted, they would be sick and they would probably not live very long. They need good food too. child in the way he should go. Listen, personality versus character. I want to talk about this for a minute. We're so caught up in this society with personality. We want our children to have charisma and talent to play musical instruments. And those are all great. Those are all good things, okay? They might be gregarious and have a great fun personality, and they make people laugh, and we get, you know, we get excited about that. But we should get more excited about character. About honesty. You know, my child is honest about something or admits guilt in an area. Oh, this is what I did. I chopped the cherry tree down, you know, George Washington. That right there ought to be enough for people to get excited about. Not the fact that he can play Fur Elise on the piano. That's okay. I'm proud of that. But I'm more excited when they exhibit faithfulness and commitment. Dad, I'm going to do that. I hear from an employer, my son works, and they say, man, he is the hardest working young man I've ever had on the job. For 18 years old, he was a hard worker. Well, that pleases me more than to hear that he's a great joke teller. Do you see the point? Let's look at character and make that valuable to us. Not the fact that they comb their hair a certain way and they wear their, you know, they're cool. I want honesty and integrity and commitment and work ethic and diligence and perseverance and others-minded. Those things I'm wanting to see in my children. Character cannot be taken from you. Just can't. Again, we talked about quality versus quantity time. Listen, if you can fashion your time, schedule your time so you're able to spend with your family. The Bible says this: thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou rise up. Deuteronomy 6:7. How do you do that if you're not there? How can you be with them? We've got to fashion time with our children. Donut dates, whatever we can do, but be with them and instruct them and be there to answer their questions when they do say, hey, Dad, you know, kind of think girls are pretty cool now. Okay, we'll talk about that. You see what I'm saying? So, but it only comes out when you spend quantity time with them. The world talks about quality time because they're excusing, you know, dual income earners and nobody, you know, shipping your kids off to daycare when you're not there and then off to school and you're never with them. We want quantity time. Forget this quality time. You know, I have 15 minutes, son, I have 15 minutes today with you. Tell me what's going on in your heart. You know, what's going on? Do you think it's going to come out in those 15 minutes? Or is it going to come out when you get them up early in the morning to go fishing and you're there an hour on the bank and you're having a cup of hot chocolate and coffee and haven't said a word because you're just throwing the line in and you're rubbing the sleep out of your eyes still. It's just nice to be out there. And all of a sudden he says, Dad, what about this? And you go, wow. Okay, you know, but you've anticipated it because those times come out when you give quantity time, not quality. So remember that, quantity time. My grandpa, he was 86 years old when he passed away, but when he was 83, actually he was 80, my grandma passed away. And I went up there to visit him, and I was with him for four days, and we sat by the fire. It was an old wood-burning stove. It was during the middle of winter, and we just stayed inside and drank coffee, and I am so sick. I was so sick of coffee. I drank it all day long. He wanted to, if we were done, he made another pot, or I did, and we just sat by the fire, and I remember for the first 2 days, he didn't say a word. He just sat there in his chair, and Grandma, he'd been with Grandma for decades, you know, 50, 60 years, and he just didn't say a word, and he'd look up at me every once in a while over his glasses, and he'd go back to just sitting there drinking his coffee and looking at the fire. And after the second day, you know, because we'd get up in the morning and do the same thing all day long. And after the third morning, we got up, made coffee. I said, well, Grandpa, you want me to make coffee? Yeah, okay, I'll make coffee. I went in there, I sat down by him in the rocking chair, another rocking chair. We sat there, and he said, he looked up over his glasses at one point, and he said, boy, Timmer, he called me Timmer. Boy, Timmer, I sure have enjoyed this conversation. And I said, But it was quantity time. To him, that was needed time together. And I didn't understand it all. I didn't know what to say. How do you comfort somebody who all you can do is be there? Well, what I'm saying is that with our family, our wife, our husband, our children, is just be there. You don't have to fashion it. It'll just, the good things will come out from being there. Television is an enemy to the family, okay? We already don't have enough time. You know, I don't know what the standards are about your own home or whatever, but, you know, that thing is just anything that robs time. I don't want my kids playing the little Xbox deals now with the monitor and all that. I'll allow a little bit of time on it, but when it starts robbing time from me, then I start, that's a check to me. And so we'll fast from it for a while. We go on these fasts from things. And so anything that robs time, let's watch those things if it robs from your family time together. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:7. So we need to be sober and vigilant about all these things. Our most proactive weapon against the garbage and confusion of this age is to fill our children's eyes, ears, minds, hours, and days with good things. Philippians 4:8, right? How do we instill wisdom? By wisdom, by Philippians 4:8. Make it simple. Have devotion and Bible with your children. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. Get them a little children's Bible. Just talk about, read a scripture and talk about the things of God. And my children loved the little store. We get these little picture Bibles when they were young, and they would just turn pages after page of picture of you know, Samson and David, and they wouldn't read, but they were reading because they were turning and looking at the stories and you know, give them something that gives them a love for the things of God. Family night, have family night. Brother Sutton, what an example to a church. Sister Sutton, you can just tell that your children want to be with your family on Thursday nights. What a powerful thing. That's awesome. Have a family night. If you don't know how to do it, visit your pastor and family. All their children want to be around them, and that tells me a lot about the kind of family they have in a family night. They make it fun, and it was. We had a blast when we were over there. We stayed over there too late. They had to kick us out. It was too late. Have games and fun. Make dinner not always a rigorous discipline of eat and we're going to do this. I mean, have fun with it. You know, we used to put things under the tablecloth, the clear tablecloth, where it was a map of the anatomy of the body, and a fly would get on there and walk, and we'd let it walk across the kidney. Oh, look at it, it's going across the ribs, and you know, I mean, we just do things to create conversation and stuff where there's interaction together. And you can make those times fun. Turn off the phone. You know, cell phones now are interrupting everything. But turn off the phone when you're having family time together. Just turn it off and be together. No distractions. And the friends, leave the friends out of it, other than the King friends that come over for dinner on Thursday, on family night. So that was good food and fellowship and dessert and all that. Table talk, remember, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, right? Walking, lying down, laying down, all those things. Read good stories together, good literature, good old stories like Little Lord Fauntleroy, an example of Christian maturity and courage, and others minded for a little boy. Find good books, good literature. Swiss Family Robinson, how they all pulled together as a family, and they survived, you know, as a family. You can just talk for hours, you know, read a little bit and then talk, and there's so many things you can learn. Well, what made them special? Well, I think it was teamwork as a family. They all pulled together. Little House series, like I said, the things that I learned as a parent, And the things that the kids learned. They learned how to make cheese, all kinds of stuff. It was just kind of fun, you know, just reading and talking about things. Chronicles of Narnia. What a way to bring alive. Now with family radio, you know, you can get Chronicles of Narnia that teach you the Bible. You know, it makes the Bible come alive, and you have a love for the Scripture by listening to Aslan the Lion, and that's Jesus Christ, the Creator, and then, you know, he represents all the stories represent those things, and they bring it alive. They make it fun and exciting, and it's done well. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know, reading Augustus Gloop, he was selfish and self-centered. You can talk about what made him selfish and self. You see what I'm seeing? All those characters come alive and are ways to talk to our children about character trait. The Little Princess, Sarah Crewe, was loving and loved, and she loved the unlovable. She wasn't swayed by peer pressure. You can talk about, you can see character in these things, and the kids start picking up. Man, I want to be like Sarah Crewe, Mom. Wow, that's powerful that they want to be somebody of character and change that way. Listen to Bible on CD. Listen to preaching tapes when you're in your car and all those hours of commuting. Do something that's redeeming your time. And listen to something that's going to help you in your home. Pull out nuggets. Pull out, you know, you have preaching that you hear often, and it's not enough here. We've got to have it repeated. There's sometimes I listen to something and then I don't hear anything else for the rest of the story because I'm back trying to figure out what do I need to change about this? And you see what I mean? So listening to it over and over helps me. So, man. Listen, I'm gonna move on here to this part. And I'm gonna move to some philosophical understanding and some concepts that I want to relay. Corrie Ten Boom was a young lady, a young girl who asked her dad, who was a watchmaker. She said, "Daddy," she said, "tell me, what is sex sin?" And dad, in his wisdom, Jewish man and just a wise man, he said, "Corrie, I'll answer that, but can you go over and pick up daddy's his watch case, his big case with all his tools and everything in it?" And so she went over there and she tried to pick that up. She tried to, and she struggled with it. She tried to move it. And she came back after attempting and couldn't. And she said, "Daddy, I can't carry your bag. I can't pick it up." And he said, "Well, honey, I'm going to carry that answer for you that you just asked me until you're old enough to carry it yourself." See what I mean? We can display wisdom with our children and not give them too much to handle it at different ages, but we want to have wisdom with our children and grow that way. This is another thing, is that don't be grossed out at sin. You know, you see somebody with 5 years, you know, earrings in their ear and their hair's bleached out and they've got tattoos running up all the way up to the back of their neck and they're smelly and they're... Don't be grossed out at that. Be grieved at that. God is grieved at that. And I don't want my children to be, I just don't want them to be turned off by the world, by people. I want them to be grieved at sin and see that, hey, listen, everybody has an opportunity to live for God. They can all change. So what I'm saying here is that be grieved, not grossed out at sin, because it'll all give us a love for differences and people of different race and color and national creed and culture and the way they dress and the way they look. It gives us a love and a respect for everybody, and that's how God sees us. He's not grossed out at us. He's grieved at sin, and he would that all be saved. He would that all be saved. Genesis 18:19 says this, and I'm coming to a close. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." It's interesting to me that he trusted Abraham to really bring about the salvation of the world through the seed of Abraham. But why he chose him is clearly seen in this scripture in Genesis 18:19, because he would command his children and his household. He would be a father to his children. He would parent his children. There's no way God would have picked somebody that didn't parent correctly, didn't want to parent right. And that's why I commend all of you that are here today and are now fasting to hear this, because you all want, you know, you want to be great parents and you want to do things right. And God can trust his blessing and his and multiplication through you to prosper you and bless you, because he can trust now, you know, what your commitment to make things right and to do a good job with your family. And that's why he trusted Abraham. If we have virtuoso musicians at 7, but they don't play for the glory of God, what good is it? What about if our little darlings can read at 3, 4, and 5, but they don't have a love for the Word of God? It's all vanity. It's all for naught. They say yes, sir, on cue and bring refreshments to guests that even Emily Post would be envious of. But they don't serve the Savior. What good is it? In all of our doing, we must remember the highest calling, and that's discipleship. And I've spent a couple of, you know, a lot of hours yesterday and today on all of this. But we've talked about marriage, leading your children in self-control, wisdom, and responsibility. But as we strive to foster self-control, let us foster an atmosphere of love in our home. Atmosphere of love in our home. The balance is love. As we strive to foster wisdom, let us open the book of wisdom ourselves and gain insight and wisdom from his word, from him. As we strive to foster responsibility, let us remember it is our responsibility to create an environment of love, peace and prayer, and joy in the Holy Ghost in our home. Remember, investing is simple, just not easy. Remember Warren Buffett said that? All these things I've talked about yesterday and today, they're simple, just not easy. So take it a little at a time, and I'm encouraging you to do that. The key to success, again, is practicing a few simple disciplines every day. Just a few simple, maybe one or two disciplines every day. That's going to bring success in your life in all areas. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 1:19 and 20. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. And let's just, before we dismiss, and maybe Brother Sutton wants to say something, I don't know, but I do want to pray a prayer for this congregation of people and pray that God's word gets in and we make changes in our home where we need to. But let's all pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. God, we're just thankful. Christians, we're thankful children of yours, God, that want to know your word and want to make change. Help us, Lord, as husbands. Help us as wives. Help in our marriage. God, be in the midst of our home. Bring peace to our home. God, I pray that you would bless our children. Bless our families, Lord. They're the pillar of this church, God. Bless the families. Let them all have a capacity for teaching others and helping others to become. I pray in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, y'all may be dismissed unless Pastor, okay, y'all may be dismissed, and I will offer this. I'm going to stick around just for those that want to ask questions. Maybe my wife can come up, but you're dismissed. But anybody that just has questions, they specific situations they want us to answer questions in, we're willing to do that for 15, 20 minutes, okay? So y'all may be dismissed, and we love you. Jesus' name.